You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning, 6:06 the time. It's August 26th, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all of our different platforms here, we appreciate having you along. And we're following right off the top here a little bit of breaking news. And that's all about a visit coming up later from Vice President J.D. Vance. And at first we thought it was going to be on Tuesday, but it turns out it's now going to be on Thursday. Is going to be the visit to a steel fabricating plant in La Crosse. They did not say specifically which one yet, but it was first reported by Axios and then by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel as well that he would be coming out initially. Like I said, it said on Tuesday, so we're still waiting on some of the details of this, but we'll get into a little bit later, you know, what's really behind this. And it's about propping up a big bloated boondoggle that Trump got passed, a mega bill, whatever you want to call it, anything other than beautiful, because it's not. And this is an effort not just to prop up the bill, but an unpopular congressman. And it just seems a bit of a stretch to prop up a grouchy congressman by sending a grouchy vice president. But hey, grouchy white guys unite. That's what they're going to do at some point when the vice president comes to Western Wisconsin. Also coming up on the program today, we're going to be talking about the rural economy and things that the Wisconsin legislature could be doing to help. And for that, we'll talk to Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. We'll talk to our friend Hans Breitenmoser, a dairy farmer from the Merrill area. And also we'll talk to Gene Bond of the Farm View Event Barn about some of the things that the legislature could do to be more helpful. State Representative Angela Stroud from Ashland is part of our Way Up North segment later on. We'll be talking to Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau about the news stories that he's following there. Not far away from there is Rhinelander and Newswatch 12 WJFW. Dan Hagen anchors the news there, and he'll join us to talk about more stories up north that they're covering. And we'll wrap things up with Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area, talking about some of the things and making political headlines. And also for the start of the school year, we'll talk about the increasingly popular topic of banning cell phones in the classroom. Now, since that wasn't a thing, not just for me or for my kids, my daughters are now in their mid-30s. And I have to admit, I kind of thought that was the deal already. So I don't know. I need a young person to talk to about this.
Hi,
Parker. Hi, Parker. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Did you have cell phones like with you on your person while you were supposed to be listening to the teacher?
Yeah. That's good. It's kind of just how it was. It varied classroom to classroom. There were some teachers I think that would have you put that had a lockbox that you would put them in. But I don't know if anyone had mandatory you cannot have your phone. It was more of a if I see it, I'm taking it kind of thing. But you usually got a couple of warnings because it was kind of a whole politics thing within the school, as you may have guessed.
I am surprised to hear this. I legitimately
am.
I thought all this time, because I mean, that'd be like, let's go way back. That'd be like my generation taking a transistor radio, you know, and trying to listen to the a day game for the Brewers. But I've got the volume on really, really low at my desk.
Well, I will say though, we couldn't have earbuds, I don't think. So like we weren't doing any volume or anything. We weren't watching videos. At least we weren't supposed to. But yeah, I don't know. There were some teachers that were just like, you know what, if something happens, you might as well have your phone on you so that you can.
And that's the other thing. If something happens, and we know the undertone of that remark, Alicia says on YouTube, in my kids' schools, they used phones for school. True. Which I mean, yeah, I mean, we had to buy a calculator. We don't have to. Nobody buys a calculator anymore.
Well, some teachers, like my Spanish teacher, Miss Ferguson, she would have us like play Kahoot games like on our phones. I think sometimes, if I remember right.
Huh.
So yeah, I think I'm right on that.
I really always thought that all this time there was a, like, it's got to be in your locker or put them on the shelf here by the door or put them in a basket or whatever. I never realized they were this widespread in use. And I kind of want to go back in time and go, why are you doing this? Because if I were a teacher, if I had the power to do this, I would have done that from the get-go, because yeah. I know kids, especially in elementary, well, middle school, high school, they got the attention span of a gnat.
Yeah.
You know, if you give them anything that's going to distract them, you know, or just the temptation to look. I mean, yeah. I'm not in middle school and I still get a look when I'm looking at my phone at the dinner table or breakfast or whatever, because it's there. You can't help but peek over at it, you know?
Yeah.
Alicia says the middle school had QR codes everywhere for their syllabus.
Oh,
I can I can totally see the usefulness of it now, but back then when it was just, you know, phones and you know, YouTube, and God only knows what you find on YouTube. And by the way, I hate sounding like an old man right now, but this is just,
I get it. It's a weird kind of thing. There was definitely some application for it, but I'm pretty sure if you ask 75-80% of the teachers in the world right now, they will say that phones are like the number one issue in their classroom.
Well, then don't allow them. So, well, we've pretty much given away the Dan Schaefer segment later on, but no, we'll see what Dan says about more districts that are going after the cell phones and saying, no, these can't be there. And me saying, yeah, how is this a thing? But it is. So, all right. Well, let's get over to the forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot right now. Her state forecast for today says gradually getting more mild before another cold front drags in some rain midweek and then back to feeling like fall, all ahead of a hopefully warmer and dry Labor Day weekend. Well, I hope so. Here's that phrase again, Brittany, fingers crossed, you know, mostly sunny, slightly warmer today. She says upper 60s up north, low 70s south, a northwest wind at 10 to 15 miles an hour. A few clouds and cool tonight, our low tonight in the mid to upper 40s with a west wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. I mentioned the daughters are visiting this week with their kids. One has arrived from Texas, where she is very relieved that it is not 97, because apparently it's 97 24/7 in Texas this time of year.
Yeah.
But she's like, this is winter for her, in her world now. This is what winter feels like. And I'm like, it kind of feels like winter for me too. I mean, we left the windows open overnight.
Yep.
And really, you know, got up and like, okay, I'm glad we had them open overnight, but the first thing I did is I closed it all up so it didn't get much colder, you know, so we got things sealed in. It's comfortable here, and then pretty soon I'll open it up again. But 40s is four, it's 47 right now in Chippewa Falls. Yeah.
Oh, so anything under 50 is wrong in August.
Yeah, exactly. Let's see what else we have here from Scott and Madison. Did you really think under pit goal teachers were enforcers of all things? I just thought yes, teachers were enforcers back in my day, but well. it was a different time back then. Back then, boy, oh boy, this old man stuff is really new to me. Back then, if a teacher said, you know, your kid did this, your kid's in trouble for that. You turned on the kid and said, what is going on here? What are you doing wrong? And it just seems there's a whole lot of, if now it's, they're turning on the teacher and going, what are you doing wrong? My precious baby would not possibly be doing anything wrong, you know? And I hate that. But on the other hand, I can't give teachers all the benefit of the doubt if they were letting phones in the classroom all this time. So anyway.
It's a weird world that we live in, especially in the school world.
I guess so. Let's turn our attention to the sports here. I was listening to Mike Clemens give the update there about how the Packers have to trim their roster today from 90 down to 53. Now, again, I'm much more of a baseball fan, and so I'm used to hearing about a few cutdowns here and there. But the prospect of 37 of your players, you know, getting cut today, that's a miserable day.
But at
least it's misery loves company. You're there with three dozen other people who are packing their bags and leaving.
Yeah,
I guess there's that.
It's a tough day for the team too. I don't know if you're familiar with Andrew Brandt.
No.
But he used to work with the Packers doing like contracts for players and stuff. And he like some of his stuff was like, yeah, no, this is the absolute worst time of the year, and it just sucks. It is not fun for anybody at all. It's a lot of hard decisions and a lot of hard news to get.
Yeah. So obviously, Michael, follow that and have details later today and tomorrow, of course. To the Brewers, there were 2 5-run rallies in yesterday's game. The first one fun. The second one, not so much. The Brewers broke a scoreless tie with a 5-run third inning, and Arizona was behind then 6-0. Before they got a 5-run rally in the 6th inning and made things interesting. But then Caleb Durbin homered for the second straight game. Andrew Monasterio also went deep to help the Brewers beat the Diamondbacks 7-5 last night. Monasterio had 2 hits. Christian Yelich had 2 hits. They each had 2 runs batted in. Of course, the Brewers still on top of the National League Central Division. Oh, William Contreras also had 2 hits. And coming up tonight would be Game 2 of the series from American Family Field. The pregame can be heard starting at 6:05 on several Civic Media stations. We're seeing Kenosha, Hayward, Park Falls, Oshkosh, Richland Center. Head over to the website to learn more, civicmedia.us. Parker, the other thing about cell phones, I just realized as a learning tool.
Yeah.
I actually had to use my cell phone as a learning tool to answer this question the other day over my breakfast.
Oh boy.
How do they make cornflakes? Like, what is the actual process of making a cornflake? And of course, now on YouTube, you can find anything. And I realized my phone and YouTube have become, now again, you didn't have Mr. Rogers growing up there.
No.
Mr. Rogers had this thing called Picture Picture.
Okay.
And it was just a picture frame on the wall, but you know, it was actually TV, but then you'd look into that and you'd see these behind the scenes, you know, things like in factories and how things are made.
Okay.
And I realize that the phone and YouTube is now just my picture. It's my Mr. Rogers. So I and Luke Mathers has texted in not that long ago, phones weren't allowed for him, he said, but when he and his friends went back to visit, the phones were allowed, and said it was a very weird feeling. So, Luke Mathers, welcome. It's good to have you here in the Metamucil crowd. Enjoy your time here. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Now get off my lawn.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Now, coming up at on Thursday in this time slot, we'll be hearing from Sherita Booker, who tells us about some of the many fairs and festivals you can attend, some deeper specifics on a few of them. But allow me to just go through a quick review, a quick list of all the things that are happening around Wisconsin, not all of them, but a big chunk. I love to talk about the county fairs that are coming up. I love a good county fair. And opening up tomorrow are the county fairs in Shawnee and Walworth counties. Then on Thursday, the Iowa County Fair and the Sheboygan County Fair get going. And then on Friday, Calumet County and Portage County have their fairs going on. Tomorrow in Appleton will be the third annual Food Truck Fest. And then, let's see, there's the Prairie du Chien Cowchip Arts and Crafts Festival. Cowchip Arts and Crafts in Prairie du Chien coming up Saturday. In Exelon, they have the Trout Festival Friday and Saturday. The Taste of Madison is this weekend, Friday, Saturday. Balsam Lake has their Corn on the Curb days Saturday, Sunday. Cedarburg has Maxwell Street days this Sunday. Eagle River has their Sausage Fest on Sunday. I guess the women aren't allowed. Anyway, moving on. Prentice Progress days Friday through Monday, which would be Labor Day. And, of course, Shell Lake Town and Country days Saturday through Labor Day as well, because it's Labor Day weekend coming up. Have you made any big plans for the long weekend?
Not that I know of yet. Might be heading down to Whitewater with a couple of my buddies that are still going to be in school there. They're going to be starting up on Tuesday, I think, is when classes start. So might do a little back-to-school thing with them. Back to their school, not back to my school. I'm done.
Yeah, please. Alicia has the text of the day already. Cornflakes are made with cardboard and sadness. So I guess the comment section is closed for the rest of the day because Alicia's nailed that.
And good luck topping that.
Yep. All right. So we also asked in our Sunday morning newsletter a question of the week that says, should Wisconsin keep or get rid of mail-in voting, given the recent attacks by President Trump on it, and claiming he's going to get rid of it, which is something he does not have the power to do. But hey, there's a lot of things he says he has the power to do, even though he doesn't have it. But as long as Congress or a Supreme Court let him get away with it, look at what he's doing with our trade wars right now. And our tariffs and our international relations. You know, the tariffs are supposed to basically have congressional oversight. Well, but that's taking place. It's not popular. And as a result, Vice President J.D. Vance is coming to La Crosse at some point this week to prop up fellow grouchy white guy Derek Van Orden, as well as the big bloated boondoggle from the Trump and Republican Congress mega bill. Apparently, this is also designed to boost Derek Van Orden. I mean, you pick La Crosse for a reason. You don't go to reliably Republican Waukesha County for this. If you're trying to talk up the bill, well, then you're going to come to a place where you've got an incumbent that's in trouble. And there's no doubt that Derek Van Orden is in trouble, in large part because he can't shut his mouth or turn off his keyboard. His caustic comments are getting in the way of addressing any concerns about what these tariffs are doing to manufacturing and farming in the 3rd Congressional District. But again, that's par for the course from Wisconsin's current congressional delegation. You've got, for example, Tom Tiffany, who yesterday put up one of these. It's almost boilerplate now. It's like a requirement. You have to occasionally put up a tweet like this, just out of the blue, from Tom Tiffany. The left opposes secure borders, affordable energy, lower crime, cutting government waste, revitalizing manufacturing, and tax cuts for workers, seniors, and families. Did I miss anything? Well, gosh, Tom, you missed the obligatory, the left wants dead babies and no more jobs for white guys and socialism. But I suppose you couldn't fit all that into a tweet as well. But at least by him putting it out yesterday like he did, I have something to hold up to. Again, when people say, what's wrong with our politics today? I would just point to that tweet from Tom Tiffany. The left, meaning your friends and neighbors who don't have to agree with you on everything, the left opposes secure borders. No, not true. Never been true. Wanted immigration reform. Your guy blew it up. The left opposes affordable energy. By that, he, of course, means burning as much coal and oil as possible. Now, affordable energy is actually the next generation of cleaner energy sources. The left opposes lower crime. Now we oppose school shootings and other forms of mass murder. The left opposes cutting government waste. No, nobody opposes cutting waste. It's just that your definition of waste is the things your constituents want and need and pay taxes for. The left opposes revitalizing manufacturing. Again, where would you get an idea like that? Now you're just making up stuff. Tax cuts for workers, seniors, and families. No, I think of like all the times Governor Evers actually fought for tax cuts for workers, seniors, and families, and yet Republicans kept wanting to put the tax cuts all toward the very wealthy. So yeah, you miss the other stuff like socialism, but I can understand why you wouldn't want to talk about socialism right now, Tom Tiffany, because imagine what you'd be saying if a Democratic president like Joe Biden suddenly announced that the government had taken over 10% of Intel, the computer chip maker, in exchange for favorable treatment. I mean, that's exactly what just happened. You've got a Bloomberg headline saying Trump seems pretty socialist these days. Because he is. It's being criticized by conservative commentators like Eric Erickson, senators like Rand Paul, you know, conservatives who look at what Trump is doing and saying, there's nothing conservative about some of this stuff. This is just stuff you're doing because you want to be an authoritarian, a dictator, which is way past socialism and way past anything that would clearly be defined as conservative behavior. In other words, the man wants to be the dictator beyond day one. Today's history lesson is next. You're up north. I know what you're thinking. It's like, wait, is this Friday? Is it Yacht Rock Day already? No, not quite there. That song is actually part of today's history lesson. Before we launch into it, let me tease it by saying, in today's history lesson, what's the common bond between Chris Pine, a well-known actor today, and Macaulay Culkin, a well-known child actor from decades ago? Think about that as I take you into today's history lesson for this August 26th, 2025. It was on this day in 1972, so now 53 years ago today, that Looking Glass had their one-hit wonder, Brandy, You're a Fine Girl, hit number one this week in 1972. This is 19th Amendment Day. The 19th Amendment took effect this day in 1920, giving women the right to vote. This is the anniversary of the birth of former vice presidential nominee and Congresswoman Geraldine Ferraro from New York, who passed away in 2011. She was Walter Mondale's running mate back in 1984. Happy 79th birthday to Valerie Simpson of the songwriting team of Ashford and Simpson. Ashford and Simpson, maybe not the most well-known songwriting husband and wife team. I mean, there's certainly Carole King and Jerry Goffin and others that are out there as well. But Ashford and Simpson, they did all right. They had the one big hit there, Solid, had a couple of other hits, but it was songwriting that was their claim to fame. They were put in the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 2002. You don't know the songs? How about this? Ain't No Mountain High Enough?
I know that one.
You're All I Need to Get By, another great Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell hit. Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, also Marvin Gaye. Reach Out and Touch Someone's Hand. And one from Chaka Khan called I'm Every Woman. Pretty good tunes right there.
Those are known.
From Valerie Simpson and the late Nicholas Ashford. Valerie Simpson is 79 years old today. On this day in 1967, the number one song was from a movie soundtrack, and it was sung by Bobby Gentry.
It was a third of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
I was always surprised Bobby Gentry did not have many more pop hits. Had some country tunes as well, but Ode to Billy Joe was the number one song this week in 1967.
So I read this and I thought it said Ode to Billy Joel. That'd be a fun song.
That would be, but Billy Joel did not jump off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
No.
As it turned out, I don't even know if Billy Joel's been to Tallahatchie, but no, Billy Joe jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge. Frankie Valli's Grease, the title track to the blockbuster film, was the number one song this day in 1978. Let's go over to 1972, where there was a novelty song on the charts by Nielsen. It peaked on this day at number 8, went something like this.
Brother bought a coconut, he bought it for the diamond. Sister had another one, she paid it for the lime. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and poured up. She put the lime in the coconut, she drank and poured up. She put
this gets me back to my point of we just don't hear novelties. You just don't hear people singing about coconuts anymore.
There's not a lot of songs about coconuts.
Or just any other goofy stuff that comes up, right?
Branford
Marsalis is 65 years old today, musician, and actually the first band leader for Jay Leno when he first took over The Tonight Show from Johnny Carson. And then he was replaced by Kevin Eubanks eventually. But Branford Marsalis, plenty of hits on his own in the jazz world, 65 today. Actress Melissa McCarthy is 55, and that is just one funny lady. I mean, her playing Sean Spicer during early in Trump's first term was just so good.
I forgot about that. I'm not a huge fan of SNL. However, I will say the impersonations are a joy.
I love when they do those. And the thing is, it didn't start that way. You know, when SNL got to start 50 years ago and Chevy Chase would play the role of President Gerald Ford, he looks nothing like President Ford. But the whole bit was, you know, you're a guy playing him. So you bought into it. Yeah. But now it's like you have to make everybody look exactly like the character. And it works. It wasn't always that way. Happy birthday to Shirley Manson. She is 58 years old today. It's been a while since we've heard from the band Garbage. See, John Mulaney is 43 years old today. Keke Palmer is 32. The late Leon Redbone was born this day in 1949. He passed away in 2019, but we still get to hear him every Christmas with Baby It's Cold Outside from the Elf soundtrack. Mother Teresa, the nun, the missionary, later Catholic saint, was born this day in 1910, passed away in 1997. Let's see. Let's get back to some music here. The number one song this week, 30 years ago today, was a movie soundtrack by Seal. That was Batman Forever, which was, I want to say, the Val Kilmer one, not the George Clooney one. I should have pulled that up. There have only been 700 Batman movies, so you can't blame me for not remembering them.
That's the other thing. But superhero movies, whether it's Marvel or DC or whatever, there's so many. It's just too much to keep up with. I have no idea how any of that works.
Yeah. No, it was Val Kilmer because it was also Nicole Kidman. And I remember the video now. And Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones. Drew Barrymore was in there. It was a big, big hit.
Did you just say that Jim Carrey was in a Batman movie?
Yeah, he was the Riddler. And Tommy Lee Jones was Harvey Lee Jones was Harvey Dent before he became, what, the Joker. Oh. If you haven't seen Batman Forever, the 1995 film, I highly recommend that
one. Yeah?
Yeah. It was before the films turned really dark with, like, Christian Bale and everybody who's done it from that time. You feel like you want to bring a, a spotlight with you because the movies are all so dark. Like, I can't see anything in there. You know, these were like movies that you could just go see and you could see all the characters doing everything. And they still were very, you know, dramatic, but at least you could see. Yeah. Chris O'Donnell was in there playing Robin as well from that movie. Again, 1995 is when that was the number one song in the country. All right, let's see. Katherine Johnson. Now, I've never seen the full movie. Is it Hidden Figures? Yeah, Hidden Figures.
Oh, yeah.
Katherine Johnson was born this day in 1918. Physicist, mathematician, profiled in Hidden Figures in the book, which inspired the Oscar-nominated film. But Katherine Johnson later went on to receive the National Medal of Freedom from President Barack Obama in 2015. She passed away in February 2020 at the age of 101. And is it Taraji P. Henson who plays her, I believe, in the movie? And again, I've never actually sat and watched the movie, but I've seen lots of clips of it that come through on TikTok and Reels and all that, because clearly it's, you know, it's a film people like. Kevin Costner's in there. And I really do want to sit and watch that thing front to back.
It is a good movie. Yeah, I think we watched it in one of my classes or something during middle school, I think, because I want to say that's like, when that was first
like
coming
on your,
out.
On your phones? Did you all have to look at your phones? And
yeah,
watch
we watched our phones. We all had our own headphones on. It was a group session. We all just hit play at the same time. It's a core memory, Pat. It was very important. Yeah. It was very meaningful.
On this day in 2009, kidnapping victim J.C. Duggard is discovered alive in California after being missing for over 18 years. And on this day in 1978, at a papal conclave, Albino Luciani was elected to succeed Pope Paul, and he chose the name Pope John Paul I. And he served for about a month before passing away and sparking conspiracy theories that last to this day.
I don't think I knew about that one.
You didn't know about the Pope who was only Pope for about a month?
I did not know about that.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, because he passed so suddenly, it's at the, remember the Da Vinci Code? Well, no, of course you don't.
No,
Da Vinci Code was a big time movie. And
I've watched and read the Da Vinci Code. I love Da Vinci Code.
Okay. I believe Dan Brown, among many, has done some kind of a twist of, you know, a Pope being murdered, you know, and so that gets tied in all the time. Ah. Because this marks the passage of the 19th Amendment, today is Women's Equality Day. Today is also, this one says National Dog Day, but I'm going to be honest with you folks. I feel like if not once a week, once every couple of weeks is some variation on a National Dog Day or National Be Nice to Your Dog Day or National Feed Your Dog Day or National Labradoodle Day or whatever. So
you know why that is, one, Pat?
Why?
Because they're man's best friend. You have to celebrate them.
I know. And this one just says National Dog Day. So there you go. Like you weren't going to be nice to your dog anyway today. Today is Cherry Popsicle Day. I haven't had cherry popsicle in forever.
No.
I haven't had a popsicle in forever. There's so many other treats out there now.
I have like the fudge ones fairly often, but not
fudgicles. Yeah. Love those. And this is National Toilet Paper Day, which I bring up every year. Even though it's an early morning radio show, because there are just things that we do take for granted and that we did not always have. Wisconsin became a leading supplier of toilet paper when the manufacturing got to the point that you could do that. It was a Wisconsin plant that advertised the first, get this, splinter-free toilet paper. Tells you something about the advances that we have here. Appreciate your Charmin, boys and girls. Alicia, thank you for correcting the record. Harvey Dent was Two-Face in the Batman movies. Yep. And then a couple more birthdays. I asked, what do Chris Pine and Macaulay Culkin have in common? They were born the same day. They're both 45 years old today. It's just that Macaulay Culkin was in Home Alone when he was, I don't know, what, 10 years old?
Oh, God.
Something like that?
Yeah. I'd have said 12 max, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, Chris Pine, we didn't really see him till much later, but they were both born this day in 1980, making them both 45 years old today. So there you go. Oh, Michael and Tulsa. Michael and Tulsa, you were you were just a bit behind Alicia. Alicia got hers in on Facebook. You got yours in on the text line. Harvey Dent being Two-Face. Thank you very much for that. See, I like this. I got the best listeners here.
This is great crowdsourcing.
They do. They keep us on the straight and narrow here. So still ahead, we're going to be talking in our 7 o'clock hour to Hans Brighton Moser, our friend from up in Merrill area of Lincoln County. And we'll be talking to Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, along with another guest, talking about so-called wedding barns, event barns, the kinds of things that were really dealt a setback in the last legislative session. And so now they're hoping that lawmakers will, you know, see their mistake and rectify things so that the rural economy can continue to have farmers diversifying their income with things like this. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
If you'd like to follow Up North News on social media, but you're tired of the dumpster fire, formerly known as Twitter, you can now follow us on Blue Sky. Also on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and yes, we're still on Twitter too if you decide that that's where you want to be. And you can follow me on social media as well. Just go to Facebook.com and put in Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and you can follow me on all the other socials there as well. Let's see, right now it's 47 degrees here in Chippewa Falls. It is 49 in Oshkosh. La Crosse is coming in at 50 right now. And in Medford, in front of the new Ziggy's Coffee, it is 44 degrees there. As I'm poking around looking for other headlines around northern Wisconsin, places like that, and I saw this note about this new Ziggy's Coffee shop going up in Medford. It's supposed to open today. Hopefully they got off the ground. But it's definitely this family business situation where they had the groundbreaking months ago. And you see the little kids, and then as the place is being built, the kids are running around and they're pretending to serve coffee out the drive-through window, you know.
That's
except
really
they're handing over like here's your dandelion latte, you know.
Boy.
It was adorable. So I hope things went well for them out there today. And they got that Ziggy's Coffee going. There's another chain called Scooters, I want to say. They recently opened up at least one in Eau Claire, and I believe I saw them going up somewhere else not too long ago as well. So I don't know if is that a relatively new chain, or is it just new to Wisconsin? I'm not sure.
I feel like I've heard of that, but it's rare
again,
for me.
One of those where, you know, it's just a drive-through, you know.
Sure.
And that can make you a little crazy. Because we built, in Chippewa, there was recently a Caribou Coffee that went up over by me, and went up with there's a festival and a Quick Trip and a Culver's, making it the most Wisconsin interchange ever.
Lovely.
Right off of Highway 29 at Seymour Cray. And there's this little Caribou and a Taco Bell. And shortly after it was built, was reaching out to somebody about, you know, getting a cup of coffee. And we said, well, let's just meet at the Caribou there, that brand new one. And we'll sit inside for a while and we'll get some coffee and we'll catch up. And got there and realized, no, it's a drive-through only situation. I knew it was small. It was a small building, but like no inside service whatsoever.
Wow.
And it wasn't a great day either. So we both just kind of got our thing. We sat in our cars and kind of talked to each other out the
through
windows
the windows.
Yes, because it was looking like it wanted to rain or something like that. Like, and there was no place else closer. The Culver's wasn't done getting built yet. So
that is the most like 2020 COVID story I've ever heard.
Isn't it though? It is. It's it was that or go inside the festival and just like walk up and down the canned goods aisles as we're talking politics or whatever the case may be.
That's awesome.
I know. But these coffee places that, you know, they are just, they're springing up like crazy. Alicia's telling us on YouTube, we've got a Scooters in Darboy. Hey, if you're in Darboy, I mean, your place is not. Darboy is just outside of Appleton.
I've never heard of that.
Darboy was known out in that area for having basically a wedding hall, dance hall, the name of which escapes me, and I'm sure Alicia's going to put it on YouTube there, but it was right at the main intersection in Little Darboy. And of course, my wife is from that part of the state. And so everybody had been out to Darboy for a wedding at some point or another. It was one of those where there was a reception hall on one level and then on a lower level as well, because it was on kind of a slope. So there was parking down below as well.
Yeah.
And I just could not believe when I saw it being torn down one day, I thought, have weddings and traditional wedding receptions and things, have they fallen that far out of style that, you know, a wedding hall can't make it anymore? Luke notes that most festivals in their area have a bar where you can grab a table and eat now. I've seen festivals where they have tables where you can go up and eat. You know, you get something from the deli.
Yeah.
But now a bar?
What's it called?
I know Hy-Vee has bars in there as well.
Really?
And once again, here we are doing alcohol talk at 6:57 in the morning.
That's fine. But I can't believe, I feel like alcohol talk at 6:57 in the morning is as fitting as a bar in a grocery store.
Well, there, that's fair enough. Yes. We've talked about friends of ours who have retired, but then it just didn't hold. They just couldn't, they wanted to do something else. And I know one particular doctor, when he retired, he finally took a job as a bartender in a Hy-Vee just to have a little something else to do, which was a heck of a way to meet your former patients, you know, to see the double take. Because you know how it's like if you see somebody not in the setting you're used to seeing them in.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're not expecting, well, first off, you're not expecting to be ordering a whiskey sour in a Hy-Vee. And yet there you are. So why wouldn't it be coming from your doctor, right?
Why not? Yeah. I mean, this is all a little weird enough experience. Let's just make it a little weirder.
Yeah, exactly. let's see. Charles from Eau Claire texting in. The wedding hall, I believe, was literally called the Darboy Club, if I remember. I haven't been there for quite some time. That could very well be. But yeah, been to a lot of weddings there. And I've done the chicken dance more times than I want to tell you, except the very first one, where the chicken dance was played. Well, not the very first, but one of the first, when it was a relatively new song, our wedding, 1986, the chicken dance was like this new popular thing. And it was, we danced every song at our wedding reception, every song, except that one. That's when we took a break to cut the cake.
Okay, good.
And then it was right back out there because we had a polka band and we had, you know, extended families that they just wanted to dance and we just wanted to dance, and it was a great day. And our feet, they hurt so bad the next day. But you know what? Our faces hurt too. Our faces hurt from smiling all day.
There you go.
That's a nice problem to have. All right. Coming up in our 7 o'clock hour, we will talk to meteorologist Brittany Merlot and get the full forecast. We'll talk more about the Brewers beating Arizona yesterday. And we will talk about ways to help out the farm economy, diversify the many ways that you can do business on the farm. That's all ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.